do merry-go-rounding. While the KKK police the streets by bloodhounding. Interest on the credit card just keeps on compounding. But the FCC can never shut this pirate sound down. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media.
You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM.
I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Oh, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, more or less, Mr. Smarty Pants. We got to throw that little disclaimer in there.
My problem is I don't know what I don't know. So.
Yeah, yeah.
that's a problem for a lot of us.
Yeah, that's what Donald Rumsfeld said.
Yeah, yeah. There's the knowns and the known knowns and the unknown unknowns. Those are the ones I worry about.
Yeah. So.
Unknown unknowns. You never know. I check my car every morning to see whether there's like a mafia bomb in the thief.
Yeah, you gotta get the mirror.
You never know. Yeah, you never know.
It's an unknown unknown.
It's an unknown unknown. Yeah, exactly. So guard against that.
So how you doing?
I'm okay, actually.
Good.
Just kind of, you know, just living the dream, as they say.
It's a beautiful day up there.
It is. It's a gorgeous
let's
day.
Let's try to emphasize. Let's do a positive show today.
And as I was walking here, I detected the wafting fragrance of crushed ginkgo fruit, which smells really grotesque.
Not sure I know what that smells like.
Ginkgo fruit, it's got a very earthy, biological, maybe rotty smell.
Yeah.
And it's because ginkgo trees are very old, and they evolved when the primary pollinators were things like flies.
Like back when the dinosaurs were here?
Yeah, exactly.
Like
yeah,
6,000 years
they're
ago.
They're a very ancient tree. You can tell that because they didn't come up with branching networks for their veins and their leaves. They just all spring out of one common and that fan form.
Hadn't like, thought of it yet.
Yeah, they hadn't thought of it yet. Yeah, they hadn't kind of like come along. So, but yeah, they're male and female ginkgo trees. And if you have a bunch of male trees, this happens in city after city. They think ginkgo trees, they're pretty, they're ornamental, they go back, you know, they're ancient trees. Let's put some along this boulevard. And you know, like they used to be Elm Street, now it's Ginkgo Street, right? Because all the elm trees died.
Sure.
But you've got to make sure you don't get the female ginkgo trees because they're the ones that bear fruit. And when the fruit falls, oh my God.
It's stinky.
It's stinky.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, it's fun stinky. I mean, I think. I mean, I've gone down the street.
So were you smelling ginkgo? Or
I was walking right up the street here.
It wasn't just garbage.
No, it was, yeah. It's here, right, we're here on Bedford Street, right,
okay.
Where WRT is, just a few okay. houses down. Just good. We'll go down and stomp around in them on the way out of the studio.
Okay, let's get a nice long cord for the mics here.
You can enjoy the incredible smell of ginkgo fruit on the ground.
It's smell-o-vision.
Yeah, exactly.
So I learned a fun fact this week. I never thought of this, but...
Okay.
When Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State, the position Secretary of State is in the line of succession.
That's correct. Yeah.
And but if you know something horrible had happened and everybody above him on the line of succession, if they had got down to the Secretary of State, they would have skipped over Kissinger because he wasn't qualified.
That's
to be
true.
President
because he was not born in the United States.
Not born here.
He's born in Germany.
Yeah. So I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah. So who would it have been?
I don't know. Probably Earl Butz or somebody.
I think he was out. I can't remember when
I just want to say Butz.
Yeah. Well, Earl Butz. You remember his brother Harry and his sister Rosie. They were the whole Butz family. And
Bertha.
So yeah, he made a terrible racist joke, which that's that, and somebody was on the plane.
He was the Secretary of Agriculture.
Yeah, right? And today, of course, if that were to happen, they would be like,
he didn't do that.
He didn't do that. Yeah, and then
you just made that.
And
up.
Then a quarter of the country would immediately just believe him because you know whoever was president said that
because he's on the right team.
Yeah, the right team.
He's on my team.
No, but they felt embarrassed and they got rid of him because he said something awful. So. Yeah. So those were the days.
I used to do that.
Now it's like, how many awful things can I say before lunch? So
it's gotten so bad now with all the stuff that came out this week, and that a lot of the right wing spinmeisters are trying to say things like, "Well, the girls weren't like little kids; they were 15 or 16. Yeah. They were teenagers." It's like, stop! Don't no. That's
well. Here's the problem, Mel. When you spin too much, you get dizzy.
Yeah. Well, Megan.
So I think they're getting dizzy.
Megan Kelly was doing that. She was talking about how some of these girls were 15. She has a 14-year-old daughter.
Wow! And thanks, Mom.
Yeah. I know. No, Mom, I'll get a paper route.
So people really will do anything for money.
I guess, yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. Oh. Well, at least, I mean, you know, the rationalization, I respect the rationalization. You're feigning rationality. It's when they tell you a direct lie and you're looking right at it. That's when I get a little annoyed.
Well, that's the press secretary's job.
Very clearly defined mandate there. These aren't the droids you're looking for. Yes, right.
There was a little bit in 30 Rock one time when Jack had to take a job in Washington.
Yeah.
And Matthew Broderick, I think, was the guest star. Was
okay.
Walking him around, and the ceiling was leaking. There was water leaking down.
Sure.
And Jack tells him, the ceiling's leaking, and Broderick goes, "Oh, we looked into that. It's not."
Exactly.
Hey, you've been to Ohio, right?
Yeah. Spent the first 12 years of my life there. Ohio used to be a nice place. I'll stick up for Ohio a tiny bit. That used to be a nice place.
But yeah.
Things have gotten odd there recently.
Well, someone, J.D. Vance was doing an interview this week.
Oh, Shady?
Shady Vance. And he's from Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I am well aware.
And he can only, and they're also.
Talking about smell, you can detect it the minute you drive into Ohio. Shady Vance has been here.
If the wind's blowing the right way,
exactly. So,
Vance can only name 2 of 8 Ohio presidents.
Oh, shocking. Really?
Yeah.
All that reefer he did when he was a kid.
So he was doing some interview at Make America Healthy Again Summit this week, and the person interviewing him asked about the 8 people who've been from the Ohio who've been presidents.
Right, yeah. Suggesting perhaps an elusive way that maybe he would be the next.
You made the 9th here. Yeah, so, yeah. But he named Ulysses S. Grant.
Okay.
And he says, "I have a particular affinity for him because we both have beards." Well, they all had beards back then, and then he named Rutherford B. Hayes.
Another good beard guy.
Yeah,
even better beard guy even than Grant.
Yeah, and then Vance asked if Grover Cleveland was from Ohio, but he's from New Jersey. So
he was governor of New York.
Yeah.
So
Taft. He didn't name Taft, but Vance lives on a street named Taft.
I don't know who this is named for. Some dude. I
invented taffy or something. And I probably don't have to tell you this.
I have to tell you that there really weren't 8. It depends. It's 8 at maximum. Is the maximum like permissible number if you use 2 different incompatible indices. Yeah. Like the one question is, did they live in Ohio or were they born in Ohio?
Oh.
And if you use one of them, somebody gets knocked out. And if you use the other one, somebody else gets knocked out. So you have to both acknowledge that anybody that was ever like paused as they were moving through Ohio was from Ohio. If you got that one going, you're fine. Garfield was another bearded late 19th century.
Yeah.
Of course, he got shot.
Right.
I do want to say that of the states that had presidents that have been shot, Ohio leads with 2. McKinley and Garfield. But I don't say that's necessarily, you know, say that it's because they're from Ohio. It's just that Ohio had a lot more presidents. It was middle of the road, you know, used to have a lot of electoral votes relative to other states and so on.
Giant swing state back in the day.
Yeah.
So we also had Benjamin Harrison.
Yep.
I'd mentioned Taft. Warren Harding.
Yep.
And probably the greatest president from Ohio, William Henry Harrison.
He died in 30 days.
He was born in Virginia, but settled in Ohio.
Well,
Ohio claims him.
So. Yeah, that's the same thing with Benjamin Harrison, too, is that that was the original Harrison's grandson.
Yeah, sure.
And he actually, his house, like if you want to go to the Harrison Memorial, you have to go to Indiana because that's where his home was. So he was born in Ohio and moved somewhere else. So again, they were born in Ohio and moved somewhere else, or they were born somewhere else and moved to Ohio. So, I mean, I remember in fifth grade when I learned about this, I thought, wait a minute, this is double dealing. I mean, they're basically like anything that has to do with being in Ohio, you come up with eight.
Yeah.
And it used to be in the Ohio State House, they had the names of the eight presidents supposedly from Ohio actually around the inside. They don't have a rotunda. But it's this weird central cylinder that they have in the Ohio State House. They wanted it. These were people that were perfectionists. They wanted to do the Ohio State House in the 1850s in the Greek Revival style.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that you have to know about the Greeks is they did not know how to make arches.
Yeah.
So they didn't have domes in any of their buildings. So when they made the central element of the Ohio State House, they call it the cheese box. It's just this like giant cylinder.
Okay.
With a flat top on it. But they used to be on the inside were the names of the eight Ohio presidents. And then somebody pointed out the thing I was pointing out, which is like, wait, this is a lot of boosterism. One way or the other, somebody needs to get dropped out. And now they have them painted over. It doesn't
really.
They don't have it there anymore. Don't know
well,
why.
That's like Kentucky and Illinois both claim Lincoln.
Sure.
Know, so, yeah. I mean, yeah. Depends on how you slice the cheese, I guess. So.
Yep, exactly.
And I did learn, I shared this with you earlier, that there's a James Garfield, well, essentially a mausoleum in Cleveland. It's the James Garfield Memorial that I didn't know that was there.
I was excited about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate you sending me that.
They had pictures of like the caskets.
Yeah.
So
he was a smart guy. He had been a professor before. People were looking forward to him being in charge. And he was the progressive candidate in that duo between him and Chester A. Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Chester A. Arthur was the machine politician that was going to bring all the graft in. And Garfield was going to be the cover for that. You know, literally the beard.
You got to have
and,
that.
Yeah, so... But what happened, of course, was that Garfield got shot, and everybody's like, famously, one of the big politicians said, "Dear God, Chet Arthur's now going to be president." And then it turned out that he became a reformer as well. I guess once he got into the job, he thought,
"Oh, interesting."
So they passed the Civil Service Act. He also he vetoed.
Well, he didn't want any disgruntled office.
He learned his lesson on that one. He also vetoed the first Chinese Exclusionary Act, and he famously said.
Wow.
I cannot, this is Chester Arthur now, he said, I cannot in good conscience let this act pass when we are the party of Lincoln.
Oh,
so
very nice.
Republicans actually used to be against racism, so today, not so much.
At least tell the railroads are done. And
yeah. Well, there's that part too, yeah.
We
have a few more railroads, let's not kick those Chinese out.
Consumer Protection Bureau is set to shut down. The Trump administration has declared CFPB funding illegal.
Yeah.
It's illegal to have a government agency.
On the other hand, it's legal to do all the stuff that he does.
Exactly. that puts the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau on track to shut down in early 2026 when its remaining cash runs out. So.
I mean, they'd already fired like 90% of their staff.
Right.
So this is just the cherry on the sundae.
Just kind of defanged them.
Yeah. Well, as we learned back when in the early 21st century, business doesn't need to be regulated because we'll all just pick up the tab.
Yeah.
So, and that's where we're back to. So, yay. Hey, a lot of pardons being emitted from the White House this week.
A lot of checks cleared.
Yeah, you know, the pardon attorney, I think he just takes the money in a big bag now. Pardon attorney was...
On the scale.
By the way, in case you're curious, who are the U.S. pardon attorney is, he works for the Justice Department. His name is Ed Martin, and he's a lawyer who was actually supporting the rioters, back in January 6, 2021. And among some of the people that were pardoned this week, Rudolph Giuliani, you may remember him.
Mm-hmm.
John Eastman, that was the conservative lawyer that was advising the 2020 Republican candidate's campaign.
Cheesebro got one, didn't he?
Yes, Mr. Cheesebro did. And for some reason, Daryl Strawberry, I don't know why.
Well, he cheated on his taxes.
But I don't know why he got a pardon. I mean, why was he in there?
Because they don't consider cheating on taxes a crime.
So they're
anymore.
Rewarding him for doing what they think he ought to have done.
That's called being smart.
that sounds like a certain president.
A friend of mine saw way back in the day when Strawberry was still a draw. A friend of mine saw him at a card show where he would do autographs and things.
Sure.
But I think they've clamped down on this a lot now. But back then it was like a total cash business.
Oh, yeah.
So people would pay like $20 for, an autograph.
Yeah.
And they'd be standing in line all day. So, I mean, you could walk out of there with, $30,000 in cash.
$20 actually seems reasonable to me.
Yeah. Yeah. For a star.
Yeah. We should start doing that.
Yeah. No, we're going to sell indulgences. Yeah.
Oh, indulgences. That's right. So many of our listeners are currently in purgatory.
You kind of feel like it every day.
Oh,
when
my God.
Look at the news.
Yeah, it's going to be over in at least 2,000 years. So just a few more masses. We'll probably just do it.
And do that standing on my head.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
October jobs report to skip unemployment rate. Here's my report.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you leave something out?
No, what?
The part about the jobs?
Wow.
Yeah, so they're not going to talk about the unemployment rate. And
there's an elderly orange man that keeps saying everything's fine. I don't know if you've heard about him.
What, out on the mall there?
Yeah. Yeah. Out on his patio, the rose patio.
Let's see. This is a nice story. I love the Voyager spaceships.
Oh yeah, we're rooting for that.
Voyager 1 is now one light day away from Earth as of yesterday.
Oh, that's cool.
So it takes one day for any transmissions to get.
All right. That's a milestone.
Yeah.
When is it going to run into that alien craft that's out there?
And turn into V'ger.
And turn into V'ger. Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
That's pretty far in the future.
Is that? Okay.
That's because when they're zipping around in starships and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's so. Like 200 years or something. Yeah. I won't be around for that. Unless they put my brain in a jar. In a jar somewhere. I wouldn't mind being a head in a jar. That would be fine.
That's pretty much what you are anyway. In Norway, scientists and researchers have found an ancient reindeer trap just in time for Christmas.
All right. Now we know where Santa got them from.
They found all these logs piled up, and then they figured out it was a reindeer trap dating back 1,500 or 1,500 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah, excellent.
And Like a lot of things, they're starting to find this as the ice is melting.
Yeah, right.
So it revealed the wooden trap, which had been preserved for centuries in the freezing conditions. So
yeah, that's the bad thing, of course, is once it's exposed to the elements, it's
right.
You better get it out of there fast.
Yeah. It was discovered by a hiker, a man who was familiar with the landscape and has an interest in archaeology, and he noticed the wooden log sticking out of the snow, and then he contacted a nearby university, and they said, "Oh, that's for trapping reindeer."
Yahey, he said.
Yeah.
So I read this story, and I thought of our president here in the United States because he probably envies this. I don't know if you heard, but in Turkey, in the nation of Turkey, the prosecutor, the head prosecutor there, has accused the former mayor of Istanbul, who is now in jail already, because, of course, he's running for president of Turkey. The prosecutor has asked that this man be given 2,000 years in prison.
Really?
Yep. That was the indictment. There was an indictment presented in court in Turkey, in Istanbul, this week on Tuesday. And the accusation is that the mayor, Ekrem Imamoglu as guilty of bribery and they say running a criminal organization. And this is a big escalation of how they're trying to treat the opposition, of course, in Turkey. This guy is a rival of the president, Erdogan. And one of his lawyers said this case is entirely political. Not a surprise. But the mayor was he's 50, former mayor is 54. He's a rising star in Turkish politics, and he was detained back in March, just before the opposition was going to name him as the presidential candidate. He's won the mayor's race in Istanbul three times now, and each time beating a candidate that was backed by the tyrannical president of Turkey. And this is a big deal for him because Istanbul is the largest city in the nation, and it's very powerful economically, and Erdogan would love to have his puppet in there. And the idea that this guy might run against him is something that is very problematic. An opposition lawmaker in parliament said, "Who wrote this indictment, Mr. Erdogan?" Well, good guess.
No, he just dictated it.
Yeah, that's what he does best. He dictates.
And he's a dictator.
Come on.
Go with his strength there. New studies, you and I were talking about this off the air, I think, about the rebranding of the Department of Defense
into
the Department of War.
Yep.
Somebody did a little study on what that would cost.
Yeah, the rebrand?
Somewhere between, and there, you have to make a lot of guesses on something like this, but it's between $1 and $2 billion.
Wow, it's just all about the optics, man.
Yeah, it's a branding. You got to have the branding. You know, if you want to have the best military in the world, you got to have the branding aspect. But that would be for letterhead and signs,
sure,
and the badges. Everybody's got their badge. You have to reprint everything.
But you know what? They're keeping out the no fats, no femmes.
Yeah.
So that's I was thinking about that when Hegseth got up there and was strutting around and acting all tough and saying we don't want any fatties and we don't want any wimps or anything. Yeah. I'm like, what is this like an ad?
A dating site?
Yeah, it's like a gay dating site. We just want tough, hard men. You know? It's like, look in the mirror, dude. What is your deal? And then, of course, President Sack of Potatoes wobbles up there,
Fatties. Well, they want, I was reading that they want to, I didn't bring the story in because it's too ridiculous, but they want to shut off immigration for people who were overweight because they figure that they'll develop health problems. This is the United States of America telling the rest of the world, we don't want any fat people.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that was kind of our thing.
I know. Yeah, I mean, that's when you can tell when they've assimilated. They start getting.
No, it's true. You're absolutely right. It's absolutely right.
They quit eating their good, healthy food.
Yep, exactly.
Start eating
More Cheetos, please.
I love America.
Yeah, I love America.
But they don't want to let fat people in because they're afraid that we'll have to start footing the bills for.
Good Lord. Go to West Virginia.
Yeah.
And it just, it gets more, I mean, it does reach a level where it's become so transparently bizarre.
Yeah.
You don't want to laugh because it's cruel and horrible, but it's also like, this is La La Land. I mean, what's going on?
Well, it's very revealing about what they're actually thinking. We want the master race here.
Yeah. I want the mistress race myself. I don't know about you. Hey, more tax breaks for the wealthy. This is the IRS. What's the IRS been up to these days, you might ask?
That's a good question.
Well, the IRS has been quietly, basically gutting a 2022 law intended to ensure that a sliver of the country's most profitable corporations pay at least some federal tax. This is the corporate alternative minimum tax was passed by the Democrats and signed into law. And so, like so many other things, they don't have to formally repeal it or have any discussion about what's going to happen. They're just not enforcing it. So they've got a series of new notices. They're proposing regulations or giving breaks to giant private equity firms. I mean, all you have to do is say private equity firm, and that's killer capitalism right there.
You say it three times and Satan shows up. So be careful.
Sold hat. Crypto companies, foreign real estate investors. all the people that, you know, that,
that, that Trump deals with that directly.
That he knows and loves.
Enriches his family.
This, by the way, all of these breaks, all of this stuff that they're doing, originally the this alternative corporate alternative minimum tax was thought to, it was going to raise maybe about a little over $200 billion over a decade. But so they're not enforcing it anymore. They're basically just not doing it. And of course, this already comes in addition to the $4 trillion package of tax cuts that was actually signed into law back in July. Of course, there was a story this week that this did not surprise me. Apparently, our Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, he cheated on his taxes before he became Treasury Secretary. And I was thinking of the famous story of FDR, right? FDR supposedly appointed Joseph Kennedy to be the first head of the Securities and Exchange Commission because he said it takes a thief to catch a thief.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think the thief is just like encouraging other thieves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but Mr. Bessent had a hedge fund on Wall Street, Key Square Capital Management. It was set up as a limited partnership. But through that structure, Mr. Bessent avoided paying about $900,000 in Medicare taxes on money that he had made running the fund in 21, 22, and 23. This is according to a study of the stuff that the IRS has on file. A memo was viewed by the New York Times, and it was vetted by a Democratic Senate staff.
Time for the sports roundup. Trump's granddaughter made her LPGA debut, the Ladies Professional Golfers Association.
Yeah.
She got invited to an LPGA event at the Pelican Golf Club. It's in Florida. And even though she really didn't have a lot of, you know, qualifications.
Did she look around slyly and pick up the ball and move it? Like,
I think that was
like the president does?
Well, she didn't really have the scores to get invited, but they said she received a sponsor's exemption to play in the tournament.
Yeah. And they brought her in on a big pink pillow.
Yeah, and after the first day of the tournament, she had the highest score. That's good, isn't it, right?
Not in golf.
I don't know a lot about golf.
Not in golf, no.
So good for her for getting
the number of strokes.
The highest score of the day.
Yeah,
her name is Kai Trump.
Yeah.
K-A-I, I guess.
Whose child is that?
I don't know. Probably maybe Tiffany's.
The spawn of the spawn.
Yeah.
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 A little spawnling. All right, we joke and laugh, but I just gotta say this: the U.S. military killed another six people on Sunday in two more strikes on boats suspected of smuggling drugs in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. This is according to Defense Secretary Hegseth. In case you're keeping toll, this latest strike raises the death toll to keeping track here to the 76 people in 19 attacks. This is both in the Pacific and in the Caribbean Ocean. In a post on social media, Mr. Hegseth cited intelligence.
Mm.
I just don't see much of that going on right now in the upper levels. And included two short video clips of the bombings of two separate boats. He said they were traveling, quote, along a known narco-trafficking transit route to the Eastern Pacific. And I have to say that even if they were doing that, I'm not sure blowing them up is the thing to do. In other military news, I have to just report, I know you'll be shocked, Mel, to hear this, that Thailand on Monday suspended its peace talks with Cambodia. This, remember, is the conflict that supposedly the president had resolved, but casts in doubt, of course, the two-week pledge by the countries to resolve their differences after our U.S. president asked them to do so. The Prime Minister of Thailand said on Monday that talks with Cambodia would not proceed and that Thailand was still dealing, quote, with an adversary.
Hmm.
So good job. Nobel Prize in the mail.
Time to end that 10th war.
The 10th? Are we up to the 10th?
9th or 10th.
I guess when you're making it up, you might as well have any number.
Yeah, well, the number's always,
15 fantasticatillion wars. You know? Why not? I'm sure you've seen the latest polling numbers. That the president's polling numbers are going down, And his approval rating is something like 33% or in some of the most recent polls. And the reason why, and this is sort of interesting, is that his popularity is eroding in the base because of some of the things that are going on. Is, you know, his obvious sort of Marie Antoinette-ish behavior over the last couple of weeks. And then this whole thing about the Epstein stuff. Because that's a big, the rest of us may think, whatever, you know, typical rich people. But this Epstein thing is a huge conspiracy thing for tons of people.
Sure. Yeah, I did like the optics of the Great Gatsby party on Halloween. The day before, they were going to cut off all the SNAP benefits.
Well, they went to the Supreme Court. It wasn't like he was just like, oh, we're going to cut them off. And, oh, okay, we can't. Well, whatever.
No, they really wanted.
Yeah, they really wanted to. And then all the propaganda bots were out there mouthing the pieties about how, you know, the only people that get this are, you know, well, you can guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, able-bodied people who kink their hair and things like this. Yeah. It was dreadfully vomitous. And, of course, that's not the thing at all.
No.
They can't stand stuff like this because to admit the need for something like SNAP is to admit that capitalism is not perfect.
Yeah.
To admit that the system we have now needs to be supplemented in some way.
And to me, that seems, I don't know, it's obvious, but it seems really reasonable to say, okay, capitalism can do a lot of things, but there are some places where it doesn't really work very well. So let's fill in the gaps. Things like you know, food and healthcare.
Yeah,
and
things that and you environmental need, capitalism is really bad at.
Yeah.
Well, things that
because they know they've got you over a barrel.
Yeah, it's inelastic demand. Exactly. Yeah. So no one's going to say, oh, I guess I'll just die.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, no, that's not going to happen. Or, oh, I guess I'll stop eating. You know, no, that's not going to happen.
That is the healthcare plan.
But I mean, that's why they can just jack it up.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
And make outrageous profits on it.
You're $200 aspirin and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
exactly. So. And so this is the way it always works. So you can't have a market system there because all that ends up happening is it becomes completely. And if you try to actually trying to make any money out of it, you're not going to be able to because it's too cost intensive.
Yeah, and it's not like fast food where you can just put another, you know, somebody just slaps another hospital up across the street from the other hospital and you go and compare and say, which one do I like better? I
mean, right.
You know, it takes a lot to make a hospital. It takes a lot of, you know, a lot of money, a lot of smart, trained people. And it's just not something you can just, you know, have.
Well,
go with like the lowest, you know, the lowest.
According to RFK Jr., it is. I mean, that's the thing about the wellness industry is that's just made up BS to get you to basically buy their product. That's why they're all against, you know, established medicine. Not that there's not issues there, but I'm just saying they're against it so vociferously because they want some of the cut. They want some of the money.
Yeah. Well, plus if they do this, you know, this make America healthy again thing, a lot of that is dumping it back on the consumer, the health consumer, if you want to call them that, the regular people.
Right.
And a lot of it is true. I mean, and we've talked about this. It's like, you do have to take care of yourself. You know, you've got probably the primary role. No, not primary. You do have the primary role in taking care of yourself. And so that's true. But that doesn't mean that fixes everything.
No.
I mean, sometimes you do get sick. Sometimes you do get injured. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, stuff happens. You got little genetic time bombs ticking away in your body. I mean, you know, all kinds of things. You could do everything right and still have a heart attack. Yeah. I mean, so.
Yeah, but that's the way this is how the paranoia factor that in right-wing politics works is. It makes it about you having to do it for yourself because you can't trust anybody. So the more you tell everybody that nobody's trustworthy, the more likely then you'll be able to sell them a bunch of crap because they think they're going to be able to take care of it themselves and they don't know enough to make that judgment.
Yeah, well, you don't have enough silver in your diet.
Yeah.
That's
the problem. Exactly. So. By the way, right now is we're right at the cusp of, you know, Kennedy is doing this stuff with this, you know, pushing back on big food. And that's when I'm going to say, I don't know what I think about a lot of the other stuff he thinks, but that's when I'm pretty much like General Mills, Hormel, Kraft Heinz, all those guys. Yeah, you better take those guys on. But here's the problem. They're pushing back big time. And you know when it comes down to how the administration is going to go on that.
You could have predicted that 2 years ago. I mean, that was they were going to fold as soon as they got some pushback on that. So, hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page, and they stay there for thousands of years for Norwegian archaeologists to discover.
Eventually. Yeah, we put them on ice.
They work as a reindeer trap. Yeah.
All of our shows are multi-purpose.
Yeah, but, no, they're only there like 6 weeks or something. Yeah. But
still seems like a long time for
way
us.
Way too long. So. Yeah. But She Who Must Be Obeyed just walked in.
Hey. Oh, cool.
But and also thanks to Eyeless Minion D-Cubed, who does all the file management so people can listen via pods through Apple Pods or...
People all over the country listen to this program.
Yeah, Spotify pods. Or,
and usually are run out of town when people find out about it.
And then they move farther away.
Angry mobs follow them down the street.
I can still hear them. All right, we're going to have to take a break and I have to play some announcements. And then we're going to come back with...
I don't know, happy news.
Happy news. I've got, Japan battling monkeys.
I'm betting on the monkeys.
Oh, yeah. They're dancing on the good foot. I got to get on the good foot. I got to do it on the do it with your good foot. I said the long hair hippies and the afro blacks, they all get together across the tracks and they party. Ho! On the good foot. You know they dance on the good foot. Dance on the good foot. Ain't nothing going on but the rent. A whole lot of bills and my money spent. And that's on my bad foot. You know my face is getting short and I got the blues. I got a funky job and I paid my dues on the good foot. Hey, on the good foot. I got to get on the good foot. Hey, on the good foot. Get on the good foot.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back. Target is requiring their workers to smile at customers in the hopes of boosting sales.
I'm going to sneer at you.
It's called the 10-4 program.
Oh, Lord.
Under the program, workers are required to smile, make eye contact, and wave or greet a shopper who comes within 10 feet of them. So they have like some sort of force field around them.
So there's a supermarket downtown where I go where they do that.
Yeah.
And it freaks me out every single time. It's like, hi, how you doing? And it says the person who's putting the bananas on the shelf or whatever. And I'm like, are you coming on to me? what the hell are you doing? Knock it off.
Do you like these bananas?
Yeah, well, I'm not getting this vibe here. I don't like this.
If the customer gets within 4 feet, the worker is required to ask them if they need help or how their day is going.
Oh yeah.
So
my late grandmother, she was always a little odd around people. But I have to say that whenever she went out shopping, if somebody said, this is too funny, if somebody said, have a nice day, she thought they were being sarcastic, and she'd say, you too, with bells on it. So target people, be careful who you're saying have a nice day too or whatever, because there's some people that don't like it.
Yeah, I always respond, well, you're not the boss of me.
Yeah, I'll have the kind of day I want, thank you very much. Yes. Hey, by the way, you probably heard a giant sigh of relief last week. The Supreme Court of the United States on Monday said it would turn down a request to reconsider its decision on same-sex marriage, which incidentally was decided a decade ago.
Yeah.
And this was a petition that was filed by Kim Davis. She is she was a Kentucky County clerk who gained prominence back in 2015 when she defied a court order and refused to issue same-sex licenses because of her religious beliefs. And, of course, there are tons of rules about this sort of thing. If you're in an office of some kind, then you have to perform whatever's the constitutional duty associated with that office. Or we have a choice. You can not be in that office. You know, yeah, I mean, it's a public trust. It's not something that you just own and you can do whatever you want with. So needless to say, she worked her way through the court system. The reason why she's in the court system is because she had been sued by a couple that was denied a marriage and a license, and she was sued and ordered to pay over $300,000 to the couple because, again, this was her duty as an officer of the law. And so she took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Of course, she had a lot of backing from anti-gay, anti-trans organizations who were going all crazy about it. But interestingly enough, the justices, they didn't even say why. They just weren't interested. They have four of the justices have to be ready to hear a case before it even gets accepted. And they couldn't even get four of them out of that group. So you can bet that, you know, we know exactly who's slavering to get there. You know, yeah. Thomas and Alito are probably just like wild dogs right now, you know, but apparently not everybody was on board with that. So
that was
giant.
I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to everything going south nowadays. But
Yeah, I think people have just gotten so used to it now. It's just like, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It apparently didn't have the civilization ending consequences that we all hoped it would.
It's amazing it's changed things for the better for a lot of people, but they're it's really kind of a quiet revolution. Yeah, like nobody, you know, once it happened, it was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
They probably left it in place because they thought, you know what? You want to be married? Good. You can suffer too. As I said,
that motivates most humans.
As I said at the time, you know, the best way to, if you're worried about too much gay sex, gay marriage, that's the way to go.
Don't have to think about it anymore.
Also want to mention real quickly that a judge has rejected the redistricting map that Republicans drew in Utah. You know, they're doing these mid-census redrawings of the maps in obedience to their sovereign lord, the king of these United States. And they tried doing that in Utah, and apparently it was rejected by the courts there. And you may have noticed, and they didn't even need the courts in this one, they were thinking about, Republicans in Kansas were thinking about doing the same thing. And a surprising thing happened. Some of the Republicans were like, no, we're not going to do that. That's not right. So there are some Republicans.
That's not right?
Yeah, there's some Republicans out in the heartland that are feeling funny about this constitutional subversion that's just the current administration. Yeah. So.
Oh, interesting. I promised you monkeys fighting the Japanese people.
And monkeys we shall have.
Yeah, in Japan's northern Alps.
They have Alps?
They have Alps.
Boy, those Alps really extend quite a ways. I thought it was like France and Switzerland.
No, they stretch way out there.
All the way out to Japan.
Yeah,
okay.
The Lord Alps those who Alps them to Alps. But the residents battle monkeys to protect homes and farms.
Wow.
So it's the foothills of Japan's northern Alps.
Mm.
People wear bright orange vests. The humans ring bells. I'm glad they...
Do the monkeys not like orange vests?
I guess. They blow whistles and strike rocks and trees with walking sticks as they weave through bamboo and brush. They use GPS trackers. They follow the monkeys' movements and radio teammates to close in when nearby. The aim is to herd the animals back into the mountains and away from farms and homes. There's a big big park nearby that a lot of tourists come to, and things don't go well when the monkeys run into the tourists.
Wow.
So they're trying to keep the monkeys out of that park too. So
I blame the humans.
Yeah, of course.
Why are you so close to the monkey habitat?
Now, the Japanese people, they've battled Godzilla,
yeah,
and King Kong,
sure,
and Mothra,
yeah,
and they should be able to take these monkeys.
I don't know, the power of solidarity, Mel. I mean, Mothra, he's big, but he's one guy. These monkeys, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, King Kong was only one, yeah, one monkey.
Yeah, right, exactly. So,
hey, before I forget, I've been forgetting for several weeks, a friend of mine is having some health problems, Fred.
Okay.
Tree up in Minneapolis.
Sure. There.
And some problems with, well, it's with his brain, actually.
Oh.
And the doctors have said, it for him, it's good because it's a non-vital organ. But, but I just want to send the Melon
Floyd. So he would not make a good head in a jar.
No. Just, he'd put his body like Agnew. Where,
yeah, oh,
just,
Agnew, yeah.
He could just stumble, yeah, around without a head. But anyway, all of our best to the Melon, yeah, Floyd thoughts and prayers to, yeah, to Fred. Yeah,
yeah. I'd like to see a Melon Floyd prayer. That would be a sight to behold.
At Texas A&M, professors now need approval for some race and gender topics.
Oh, yeah.
They have to get approval from the school president to discuss some race and gender topics, tightening rules months after a viral video of a student confronting an instructor over her lessons threw the campus into upheaval.
Mm.
The new policy states that no academic course will advocate race or gender ideology or topics related to sexual orientation or gender identity unless approved in advance by a campus president.
What does that mean? Do they have standards? I mean, do these campus presidents have some template they're using? Or is it just how they feel that day?
Presidents. You can do anything you want when you're president, right?
You've got to have a rationale. Yeah. If you're in an institution of higher learning and you don't provide reasons for things, that kind of undermines the whole concept of an institution of higher learning, as far as I'm concerned, right? I mean, isn't that why you do things based on reasons?
Remember when Scott Walker was president and they wanted to get rid of it was like the motto for UW about, yeah, you know, advancement in science,
yeah,
and
yeah,
truth. I can't recite it off the top of my head.
Yeah, because it's all nonsense.
Yeah. Let's, well, get rid of that. For
yeah, yeah, right. Obedience. Go with the gut.
Yeah.
Because that's worked so well in human history. Go with the gut.
It was Veterans Day earlier this week on 11/11.
Yeah. Yep.
And Donald Trump, who's always thinking, he's always innovative, he said he wanted to change the name of it to Victory Day.
Oh, you're lovely.
Which is what they call it in Russia.
In Russia, yeah, of course, yeah. Well, Mindless Minion number one actually invited Companion and I to go to a wonderful performance. Maybe some of our listeners were there at the Barrymore, which was the Kissers, I think they're called,
yeah,
and their band here in town, and they were doing a multimedia show where they were describing the origins of Veterans Day, which originally was Armistice Day. So they were basically talking about the First World War, and they were playing songs from that period and songs about that period and so on. It was really very, very nice. And there were some older veterans there, and the Clarence Kalin veteran table was set up, as has been in Madison now for the last like 50 years almost. And so it was really, really a wonderful experience. And one of the things that was interesting about that was they were talking about how it went from Armistice Day, which means, you know, a peace. We have a peace. We put down our arms. To in 1954, when it was renamed Veterans Day, because they figured they weren't going to have much more peace, but they knew they'd have a lot more veterans. So they thought that would be a good renaming strategy. Never going to run out of those.
Oh, that's funny. So.
Well, you know, the bicentennial of the bicentennial, the 250, what is that? The bison.
I don't know.
What is the right name for that? There's the limits of Mr. Smarty Pants. I don't remember the name of that. 250th anniversary of the beginning of our nation is coming up. And as part of that, the National Archives has decided to put a full display of the entire Constitution up there. And you know what's fun about it is you can look at it and you can see all the things just like right in front of you. If you want to go to Washington, D.C. and look at all the things that the current administration is not doing according to the Constitution. So you can look at like the First Amendment, right? And of course, the Trump administration has been kind of charged with, ignoring the First Amendment when it comes to expressing political views and so on, subjecting people to to scrutiny under that. Second Amendment, of course, very, very different from the way it's been interpreted. And in the history of the Second Amendment, the current interpretation is only about 15 years old or something like that. It's been interpreted exactly the opposite for most of American history. Structure of government, of course, Congress comes first. Not anymore. Impeachments, the section on impeachments, you can read that. My favorite section that seems especially apposite today is the Constitution's Foreign Emoluments Clause.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Which it bars many government officials from accepting gifts from any, quote, king, prince, or foreign state without the consent of Congress. And, of course, they didn't anticipate that you would get a plane. They don't mention that, but I think that would probably fall under the...
Could be.
Yeah. And then, of course, the various amendments, the one that says, number 14, that says that all persons born and naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States, which the current administration is trying to...
That's just a suggestion.
Ignore, right? Exactly. The 14th Amendment, Section 3, the provision bars those who have taken an oath to support the Constitution from holding office if they then engage in insurrection. The 22nd Amendment basically says you can only have two terms. And as you recall, there was a moment recently when we were faced with the possibility that perhaps there would be a third term for the current president. The 25th Amendment sets out an elaborate method for removing a president unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. I think that pretty much happened the moment he got into office. We're talking about the current guy.
So many of these things just depend on someone having the will to do it or someone being, honest enough to say, this guy is not right. I mean,
I have a collection of money at home from countries that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
If there's nobody to agree that that's money, it's just a piece of paper.
Right.
If there's nobody to agree that the laws should be enforced, it's just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So.
And to answer your question, the 250th anniversary is called a semi-quincentennial. It just flows right off the tongue.
Semi-quincentennial. Excellent.
Wow.
I'm writing that one down.
Got an email at the melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com from Phil. Says, when I was studying preservation and restoration of historic buildings in the Ohio Valley from 2004 to 2006, one lecture included the fact that the powers that be that had been in Ohio would dragoon skilled trades workers on a variety of frivolous charges to essentially perform free labor as prisoners instead of having to pay for skilled craftspeople.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, that was my uncle.
Michael and Madison. There's something tucked in a little writer tucked into the bill to restart the government that there were, I think it was six senators, Republican senators.
Oh, Graft. Senator Graft.
Yeah, that it will allow lawsuits over secret phone record subpoenas. These were part of the January 6th investigation.
Yeah.
And our own Ron Johnson is one of those senators. So they could stand to make about $1 million apiece.
Because that guy's got no
money.
They
can follow through on that. So. Oh, man. So thanks, Michael, for sharing that with us. And let's see. When we talked about the Farmer's Almanac last week, Scott said, I'm sure you've already been told this, but the Farmer's Almanac and the Old Farmer's Almanac are two different publications. You know, I think I used to know that, and then it got pushed out of my brain when I had to remember a sitcom jingle or something. Charles in Charge.
Watched a rerun of Phyllis, and it went right out.
The Old Farmer's Almanac began in 1792 and the Farmer's Almanac in 1818.
1792, that's a great year.
Yeah, it was a pretty good year.
Vintage year, yes.
They made the different predictions for the upcoming winter. The Farmer's Almanac predicted a rather harsh winter, while the Old Farmer's Almanac, it adds a little editorial, which I buy every year.
Oh, of course.
Predicted a sort of mild winter.
Yeah.
So screw those Farmer Almanac guys. Because they were ceasing publication. So. But
the old one's still around then.
The old
divining farmers. From this message.
And it's great to see that humans can cleave things in a lot of different ways to find enemies. I mean, you know, our, oh, you're the old farmer's almanac guy. I hate your guts. I'll kill you.
I'm wearing my hat on the side. No, you're not either.
Mindless Minion 6. Let's see.
Keep it clean.
I don't know what he's doing.
Keep it clean, 6.
Just kind of saying hi. Says, happy I'm back in the studio.
Oh, so, yeah, we all are.
That was nice to hear. So. Yeah. We talked about there was like this cheap little sign put out over outside of the window of the Oval Office, and Phil writes, the sign outside the Oval Office is not just a cheap, janky printout, which I called it last week.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually covered in high-tech scratch and sniff chemicals. It emits the bouquet of burnt meat and ketchup, which Trumpy Bear can track from 300 miles away, 300 yards away.
So many people made the point that this seems to indicate that his memory is not exactly the best. I like the added-on thing that he needs to have the scent to lure him in.
Says it's also covering up a Playboy centerfold he stole from the construction workers and staple-gunned outside the door.
Jesus. So. Yeah, let's go the whole log here.
And then there's a picture of his
puppy. Oh, what a pretty dog.
Puppy. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, whose dog is that?
That's.
Sorry, people. We're looking at pictures right now.
That's Phil.
Because that's what we do here on the radio.
Dog, so. Just answering the emails.
Yeah,
here,
no, that's a lovely dog. So I don't know if I told you, but Companion and I have decided that I'm going to get a dog because I've been wanting to get a dog for years,
You've
and
been
I
talking
haven't.
About that for years.
Yeah, so. and we pulled the ripcord. We're going to do it this summer.
Really?
And I've already got a name for it, Rowdy.
Oh, that's
and,
a good name.
And then when I take it out for a walk, it's Rowdy Duty time. And the nice thing about that is it can either be actually rowdy, or if it's like a sluggard, it can be ironically rowdy. So that's the perfect name for it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's good.
Yep. So then howdy rowdy. I mean, there's just like so many options there. But anyway, but I'm thinking probably some kind of, I mean, I'm probably going to the Humane Society, but I would like something that's sort of, I've had the two dogs that I've had in my life. One was a Norwegian elk hound and one was kind of a mutty hound, some kind of hound thing. Yeah. And I've had a hankering for a dog for years, and I finally to the place where I think I could probably manage it with my work life and so on. So I'm looking forward to that. So maybe if Rowdy is a well behaved Rowdy and Clopsy could have a play date or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Clopsy hates other dogs.
Clopsy hates other dogs. Yeah, yeah. Dog play dates. Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. So. We did have to negotiate, though. Is Rowdy going to be in the bed? No, never. Are we going to call Rowdy our baby? No, never.
the
All the ground
baby.
Rules. No, it's not. Nope. It's a respect the alien in your midst.
I can be Rowdy.
That's what we've heard. So, record numbers of younger women want to leave the U.S.
Yeah, can't imagine why.
The desire to migrate among younger American women has quadrupled in the last decade.
Yeah.
40% of women age 15 to 44, this is a Gallup poll.
Yeah.
40% of women age 15 to 44 say they would move abroad permanently if they had the opportunity.
Yeah, talking about janky, we have the jankiest men here. That's the problem. Could you do something besides playing games and looking at pornography? No.
Is there anything?
No, I can't.
Is there anything else?
Is there anything else? Yeah, exactly.
So the top song, the top country song this week is, you know who the artist was?
It's AI, I believe.
It was AI, yeah. There's song, actually three songs generated by artificial intelligence topped music charts this week, reaching the highest spots on Spotify and Billboard. Walk My Walk and Living on Borrowed Time by the outfit Breaking Rust topped Spotify's Viral 50, which documents the most... But a Dutch song, We Say No, No, No to an Asylum Center, an anti-migrant anthem.
Oh, great.
Showed up there, too. So.
No, jeez Louise.
So,
that's lovely.
So we have three songs and that are making waves that are created by AI.
So this next story, I just do real quickly. It's something that I think for our listener base is really important. Is it normal to wake up in the middle of the night and have to pee? No, it's perfectly normal. So when you get, it's called nocturia. Nocturia is when you get up in the middle of the night to pee.
Okay.
And I thought it was one of the lesser known kingdoms in Lord of the Rings, but it turns out it's not. I am the king of Nocturia. I bet you are.
They're not coming. They're all sleeping for
Sleeping for some reason. But basically, your body does produce too much urine at night, and your bladder can't hold as much as it used to when you get older. But even for younger people, it's not unusual to wake up once a night to have to pee. In fact, there was a famous story that when you have to get up, you know, for the next day to drink a lot of water, and that'll help you it, leaving an alarm clock. If you do it more than twice a night, then that's probably means you have something wrong with you. But if you just get up in the middle of the night, you know, and have to urinate, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, of course, unless you don't go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. That is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, just waking up and peeing.
Yeah. Going and sitting on the couch is not good.
Yeah, so,
but of course, aging is linked to problems with it. But nocturia itself is not a problem. So don't freak.
All right. There's your message of the day. All right, time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend. I don't know. I think it's supposed to be nice. It's gorgeous today, so as I mentioned earlier. But all right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar. It is 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pants, was great to see you.
You too, bud.
Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next Friday. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Wednesday, November 12th.
This is Bird Note. Mustafa Santiago Ali has been an environmental activist and policymaker for nearly three decades. The work has taught him that people can drive change with art and storytelling, which inspired him to write this poem called "The Birds Been Praying for Us."
They rise before we do, not just early, but wholly. Wings draped in dawn light, they pull songs from the silence like prophets pulling dreams from dust. A cardinal ain't just red for beauty. She bleeds purpose into every sky she touches. They tend the garden we forgot, scattering seeds we too busy to see, pollinating prayers we too proud to speak. Their flight is scripture. If we just read the air, a lesson in letting go, and rising anyway, and trusting the wind to catch what's real. And when they sing, baby, that ain't just music, it's medicine, a sound bath for the soul, reminding us even broken things can build nests and birth miracles. I was thinking about birds and how they are nature's messengers.